The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
CIO Talk Radio is brought to you by Citrix, offering go-to assist, remote support made easy.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is, how can IT help reduce time to value? And our guests for today's show are Jagdish Belwal, who's the CIO with Tata Motors in India. Good morning, Jagdish. How are you? All right. I guess he must be having some technical difficulty. But we also have Dale Langley, who's the Chief Information Officer from U.S. Express. Good morning, Dale. How's life?
Doing great. How are you?
Very good. So how's life treating you? The 2011, what new colors are you seeing on the horizon here?
Well, from a business perspective, it looks like things are beginning to pick up. So we're pretty optimistic about where things are headed. And, of course, IT is always in high demand.
All right. So as business progresses, do you think IT is right neck to neck with business to make it successful?
Absolutely. That's been this particular job for 2 years, and that's been the theme, is making sure that we have alignment between IT and the business and its direction and where it's heading.
Great. So let's look at the questions that we, in fact, the topic that we picked up today, reducing time to value. You know, when you look at it from a customer standpoint, they look at, okay, I bought something from a store. I put the time it takes me to unpack and then put it and, plug it in and then start using it. That's what they see as time to value. In an enterprise, time to value could be seen as from the time when we come up with a product idea, how do we get that in front of the customer? And how can we reduce that time is when we see the real value created. And then IT has a potential to contribute towards it. Now, exactly if you were to look at introducing a new product or a capability, where do you see, what all is first of all involved, and where do you see the things we can do to waste time, knowingly or unknowingly, and where we could actually save time? Dale.
Well, I think the first thing that people have to realize is that you're kind of managing paradoxes here, because as you mentioned, the time to value, the perception of the business is the faster I can get my product or my service to market, the better I am competing in the marketplace. And the paradoxes that we kind of tend to have to manage is kind of speed versus quality. A lot of people will tell you, well, you can't have quality if you have speed, correct? But, you know, obviously you can do it if you manage it correctly. A lot of also people will tell you, like, change versus stability is another paradox you have to manage. And so the typical thing that happens from an IT perspective is they feel like the business is trying to push for change too fast. They want to get to market too fast, and they're very concerned about the IT systems that have to support all that change. And so when I look at it, I, you know, typically think about the quote-to-cash lifecycle of your IT system. So, you know, up front, you've got the marketing side where you got branding, campaign systems, and things like that. You also got sales-type systems, whether it's your call center apps, your Salesforce automation, your CRM, your configuration, whether that's, you know, sales and marketing, or whether that's product hierarchy, whether it's your online stores and e-business. You've got to think about order fulfillment, order management, your manufacturing distribution, your suppliers, the returns processes. Then you got, of course, all your back office, accounts payable and AR and all those things. And when you look at that, a lot of people say, wow, we just can't adapt to the change, you know, very quickly, or we're going to impact quality, stability, and those kinds of things. So with that as a background, at least from my experience on the IT side, is most people are very hesitant to even adapt to or accept the business wanting to do speed or time to value, as you call it. So that's kind of the challenge to it, correct?
No, that is true. And the question that I would have, Jagdish, are you online now? Can you hear us?
Yes, Anjog, I can hear you.
Okay, good. So good morning. I hope you were able to hear. Good morning. How are you doing? Life is good?
Oh, yeah, the life is good. It's evening here.
All right, beautiful. So now the question we had for Dale was essentially what it takes in terms of introducing a capability. And frankly, in your situation, given that you are building products which are actually taken to the market, and it is very important for you to be able to keep churning out new type of products or capabilities and put them in front of the market for you to realize revenue. So I think you must be on the hot seat in terms of how you can potentially contribute towards that reduction of time to value. But then when you look at where all the time savers and time wasters are, what has been your experience where people are making mistakes or where people are doing the right job in terms of reducing time to value?
I think it's very important to engage very proactively and very early in any of the plans. So that gives you a lot of time to reorganize your resources, to start looking at what capability you need to deliver to the business. I can give you an example. For example, when we announced the rupees 100,000 car, which was the Nano, we knew that it's going to take something like 4 years to build, and everybody knew that. We took that announcement seriously, and we started building some capabilities early on, and we had enough time to build those capabilities. I can give you an example. We were selling something like 500,000 vehicles per annum at that time, and the kind of projections that were being made in the early discussions was about 1 million cars a year, and we realized that it's a big scale that we are going to get into, at least for the Indian market, and our systems are going to get stretched. There is a whole new way we need to look at the customers, the way we interact with them. We need to make it much more electronic enabled. We need to send them a lot of texts. We need to create a portal. And we started this work as soon as the product plans were announced, and we were engaging with business and the product teams pretty early. So really when Nano came, we were ready with all our IT systems, having created a lot of scalability. I think that's very important, how early you engage with your business planning.
Okay. Now, when we say that we want to engage, now, Dale, coming back to you, do you think business and IT are truly in sync for them to, yes, number one, engage upfront, and then secondly, even after they've engaged and the planning is done, but as you go about doing your thing in terms of execution of that plan, are you still able to remain in sync and also remain proactive to be able to help reduce the time to value?
Well, my guess is that most people in IT probably feel like they're never engaged early enough in the process to, you know, Jagdish's comment, and that may or may not be true. A lot of times the business, if they're bringing really a new strategic service or product to the market, quite honestly, they keep it pretty quiet, you know, for the most part. And sometimes that can be a challenge. So a lot of times you don't feel in sync, but, you know, at the end of the day, that's not an option. You have to do that. So we as the IT leaders have to make sure that we're, you know, in communications with the business, we're engaged in those processes, and we know how to stay in sync and how to be honest in our communication about where we are in that process.
So when it comes to us as IT department, seen as a support function, can we truly be a driver? Would the business allow us to be a driver because they see money at the end of the tunnel? And they say, I want to, you know, navigate through and just get to that money first. I do not know if IT you can help. So is that more of a trust issue, or is it just the fact that they don't feel IT is the one which is helping build the very fabric on which they are running this bullet train, if you will? Jagdish.
Yeah. I think IT has a good view of the world, I must say. You know, we talk to a lot of product companies, service providers, so we are always exposed to, you know, what's happening in other industries, what's happening in other companies. I think if we build an effective communication channel with our businesses and showcase and keep putting ideas as to, you know, what's happening elsewhere, I guess everybody is doing it, but I think IT is in a good position to do it.
Okay. So, Dale, have you gone back to the business, or did you have to ever go back to the business that, guys, you really allowed us to sit on the at the table and help you with the plan and kind of help create this product roadmap, but when it comes to execution, you are expecting us to be order takers versus allowing us to help lead this effort?
Well, I think the thing that IT has to do is we can be an enabler. So I'm not sure it's black and white that you're either a support function or a driver. I think you're kind of in between there. We should be seen as an enabler, right? We should be. I think Jagdish's point that he made was often IT is quite only the only department in any company that truly sees the end-to-end business because they're involved in everything. And so when marketing or sales or product groups or somebody want to bring something to market, for example, they don't necessarily understand all the implications of that kind of that quote to cash lifecycle. Whereas IT, you truly do understand all the implications, all the business processes, and how those systems support the business process. So I think IT should be an enabler in making these things happen.
Now, if we were to look at the place where we actually have to create or reduce time to value, there could be two flavors of products. Ones are like, you know, easy type of products or something that you can quickly churn out, and that's one. But then there are those large monolithic type of initiatives. Do we think we can be equally capable and or we can take that Herculean project on our shoulders to be able to reduce time to value in both? So please stay tuned. We'll be right back and explore this when we come back from the break.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
There are a variety of tools on the market that allow you to remotely work on a client, colleague, or friend's computer. But what solution do you choose? The answer is simple. Go to Assist.
Brought to you by Citrix.
It's reliable, fast, and secure. And with the exceptional performance, it is no wonder why IT professionals choose GoToAssist. Troubleshoot in seconds. Try GoToAssist free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/CIO. That's GoToAssist.com/CIO. Unleash your support potential with GoToAssist.
Brought to you by Citrix.
It's remote support made easy.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
If you want to get ahead, you have to stand out from the crowd, the clutter, and the competition.
Are you?
Tune in each week for Standing Out with Lauren Saunier. Lauren and her guests have the secrets that can help you and your business get noticed, get attention, and achieve your desired results no matter where you're starting from. Standing Out with Lauren Saunier, live every Friday at 12 noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Get ready to be a marketing machine.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
All right, so welcome back. And the question we had, and Dale, let's start with you, that if a company has got easy-to-consume type of offerings, which require less of an effort to reduce the time to value, just the very design of it, then we can perhaps make that a success with not as much effort or not as much complexity. But frankly, life is not as straightforward. So most of the projects or most of the initiatives that we have in many cases are much larger, involves many parties. The scope is huge. And so that's where when we had to really claim that IT can help significantly reduce time to value, then would that be a tall order?
Well, it absolutely is a tall order, and I think that IT, to some degree, may be a little more uniquely prepared to do that, because in most large IT organizations, you've had to deal with very large projects, ones that are very complex in scope, you know, ones you have to get multiple business units engaged, multiple vendors and suppliers. And so if you're good at your delivery focus, then a lot of times you actually have those skill sets and mindsets in-house. But that doesn't mean it's less challenging, right? That just means that you hopefully can bring some good people to bear. The approach that we've always tried to take on these larger monolithic type programs and projects is trying to understand, can the work be broken down into interim deliverables? Is there some way to not go for 1 or 2 or 3 years and then have a big bang theory and then try to put a product out there or a service and hope that it works and it still meets the business needs? What you like to do, if you can, is take the approach of understanding the big picture, but then building quarterly or every 6 months deliverables that can be validated and useful in that work. And if you can find some way to do that, I always found that gives a lot better chance to be success. Does that make sense?
Sure, it does. And then, Jagdish, in your world, since you do build something which is not a small, trivial effort, and then you have to go through a lot of different suppliers, partners, customers, and internal stakeholders, how much do you want to take on as a responsibility of success of that project? And secondly, the saving in terms of the very dollars and or rupees, in your case, and also the time to value?
I can't hear you, Sanjog.
Okay, so what?
Oh, yeah. Now I can hear you. So can I respond to you?
Sure, please.
Yeah, I fully agree with Dale that the bigger the project becomes, the more number of stakeholders, the more amount of communication you need. The way I look at it is that depending on the amount of work you are taking in, the risk increases in the same proportion. So we have a risk-based management of programs, and we encourage everybody to highlight the risks. Communication is very important, and the communication of those risks is as important so that everybody's skin remains in the game. I also agree with Dale that there's nothing called, you go into a black box and deliver something after 2 years. We have to create small little successes, and the one thing that I tell my team is that we need to deliver something every team.
Yes. I guess you have a connection problem. Go ahead.
Yeah, sometimes the output as looked at by consumer cannot be based on 3 months, but then, we need to build something which should work, a component which should work very well within those 3 months. And if we take this kind of, we keep putting teams under this kind of time pressure, then the agility is maintained, the motivation is maintained, and people are, and we achieve those 2 years in maybe 8 quarters.
Okay, you're sounding a little muffled, but perhaps you can move your handset a little farther away, Jagdish. But we'll continue the conversation anyways. So, Dale, coming back to you, what we can't measure accurately, we cannot improve. So if you think that you are saying you can help reduce time to value, do you think today we have those ways to measure what we want to change or improve?
Well, I think normal project management, you got all kinds of things you measure. I think Jagdish just mentioned, measuring your risk, for example. Obviously, you have timelines you're measuring. You've got cost you're measuring. There's a lot of things. But when it comes to the time to value, what the business is really trying to do is get a particular product or service to market more quickly, because they assume, again, that it's more meaningful to them the faster they get it out there.
And one of the things that I've tried to work on a lot of these larger projects and programs with the business is let's measure, instead of measuring features and functions, when we talk about how's the project going and am I getting my scope, and let's measure the value that those things are supposed to give to us. I'm going to give an example. When I was at Dell and we were delivering some very strategic CRM, some programs and projects that end up winning the CIO Award Innovation for the Year, I convinced the business not to get caught up into on the business requirements, all of the details of the specific features and functions, and get too worried about that. I said, focus on the value that that feature or function is supposed to deliver, and let's measure, are we doing well on the value? How are we doing there? Because if we need to trade off features and functions and scope in order to hit dates, which is what time to value is, if we're trying to be very aggressive with dates, let's not get caught up too much in all the details of the requirements as much as what are these things supposed to be doing, and let's make sure we deliver the value.
Now, when you use the word project plans and the dates, et cetera, now that is more, would you say, related to what initiatives and how we estimated. But then the very fact that if you did not know what the time wasters are and what you saw was how much of that waste is it, and then once if I suppose do make an incremental change leveraging IT, what the end state should be, then we would be kind of shooting in the dark. So how do you prevent that portion? So yes, we know we could be expert in executing a project, but do we know that at the end of the day, the critical success factor where we say IT did really deliver value and or did really make a difference in a time to value by reducing it? We do not have a quantified proof, if you will, if you did not measure it in the first place and the beginning state, and then after you're done with what you had to do as the end state.
Well, I think you used a good term. You used the critical business success factor, and you've got to start with at the very top executive level. It needs to be a top down. A lot of times what happens is if you were to sit down with that business executive and say, tell me what really matters to you, they would tell you two or three very simple things, right? And they would say, this is what I care about. What tends to happen when as the program and the project evolves, the folks in the lower levels of the organization all get their inputs in, and they all get things that they would like to see done while you're doing project work. And a lot of time, you've got to be very tough and say, you know what? Those are really good ideas, but those are not what's the most critical, and those are going to be, you call it a time waster if you want to, but those are scopes or ideas or restrictions that quite honestly are not the most important, and they're not going to address the two or three critical success factors that our business executive has asked for.
So, Jagdish, the question for you is, do you have, in when you start a project, the critical success factors where there are some measurable time savers and time wasters itemized, which you look at and then say, this is going to be my target in terms of bringing about improvement?
Yes, I think we have. And if you really look at the list that I talked about, the governance mechanisms that we put in place, I think those should help identify. So instead of putting things under the carpet, we need to encourage people to come out with what's hindering them, what support they require. And I think that's something that will identify time wasters as you keep going ahead.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break, listeners. And what we will do is we'll continue this discussion. And I guess there would be areas which we can look at very specifically in a different type of environments to see these are the ones where I could be making a difference by implementing some unique and creative IT initiatives. And that would bring about a reduction, significant reduction in time to value. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
There are a variety of tools on the market that allow you to remotely work on a client, colleague, or friend's computer. But what solution do you choose? The answer is simple. Go to Assist.
Brought to you by Citrix.
It's reliable, fast, and secure. And with the exceptional performance, it is no wonder why IT professionals choose GoToAssist. Troubleshoot in seconds. Try GoToAssist free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/CIO. That's GoToAssist.com/CIO. Unleash your support potential with GoToAssist.
Brought to you by Citrix.
It's remote support made easy.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Dale, let's look at this conversation that we had before the break. Now, if you were to look at the quality side, that while you're reducing time to value and you want to rush, not exactly rush things, but kind of reduce any wasters, do you think we might have some false positives where something which was actually indeed required to maintain the quality also could get killed because we were in this mad rush?
Well, it's possible, but again, if you've got as part of your critical success factors, you know, you probably want to know what level of quality do you expect. And a lot of times what you'll find out with the business is they are willing to accept an initial moderate level of quality in order to get to a time to market more quickly, knowing that in the first 60, 90 days. That it depends upon the business you're in. Obviously, if you know if you're a drug distributor and you're putting out a new car, that's probably different. But sometimes they're willing to do that. I think, but a lot of the ways you need to help, you know, try to address the quality issues is find ways to eliminate bureaucracy that doesn't add to the quality. A lot of times people think that they've added process to improve quality, and a lot of times it's just truly bureaucracy. A lot of times you've got what I call fiefdoms. You've got groups that have built up themselves and their function, and it's gone beyond the point of adding value. It's also another time waster, and it's really not helping quality at all. A lot of times you've got to figure out how to eliminate layers of groups and teams and people that are forcing you to go through. Again, it's not adding value. So I think you can keep high quality standards and do time to value, but you've got to be real clear about what you're going to measure and when you're going to take those risk rewards.
Now, Jagdish, what was told to you when you said, I can really do miracles with IT and bring time to value or reduce that time to value, but I'll also be able to safeguard the quality? Is that something that was seen as a realistic endeavor that you can take on? And in your mind yourself, did you think that you can pull this off? And what was that magic bullet you had to make this happen?
I think it's a challenge, but I would take one point that Dale said initially. If you think that you're taking on too much, what you cannot deliver, there has to be prioritization from the customer's point of view that you drive. And make sure that you deliver the quality. Another thing is that, both in business processes as well as in your own project management and development processes, we have to build in the quality. So processes need to have inbuilt metrics or performance parameters, which will tell you which will give a feedback to you that are we on the right track. Like for and a lot of these places, these feedback mechanisms can be built through automation. Okay, so like for example, if you have a new product coming online and you know you have a manufacturing automation system where you're recording what's happening to those pilot products, everybody in the organization can see whether are we building quality right from the first time or not. So IT's job is also to create those feedback mechanisms and then, you know, through analytics, publish them to everyone so that everybody knows what's going on and nothing gets pushed under the carpet.
Do you think, Jagdish, that when you do all this, now, when you basically get started with something like this, your team, like you are a savvy individual who has lived the world, but do you think people at all level in your organization would be willing to take on this challenge of rushing things, not in true sense rushing, but at least expediting, or in other words, crashing a project to do it sooner, and also be able to take on the responsibility if something goes down? Because this could be an uncharted territory too. Would you give them the immunity? Would business give you the immunity that, hey, I allowed you to crash the project and or do it in lesser time, but I cannot afford to have this go wrong, and if something goes wrong, then somebody gets fired. How does your team react to something like that?
No, I think getting something out in the market with inferior quality, or getting something out to your users with inferior quality, is something which is unacceptable. So the way we build it into the process is that the people who approve something for going into production, you know, they are the conscience keepers. So sometimes the testing teams are the conscience keepers. Sometimes it's the people in the business who we are who check out what we are doing. They are the conscience keepers. So you must have these conscience keepers who don't allow anything to go without the proper quality. Well, business giving you immunity is impossible, because if you go out with improper quality, business is going to suffer and then it's going to come on your head. The point is, how do you build quality into your processes? And how do you, how robust are your testing and you know, certification processes for sending something out? I think that's where the answer is.
Okay, so Dale, let's ask this question and put this question on the table. So in order to bring the stamp to value, you cannot beat people, and or you do not kind of push them to say, I'm going to give you an incentive, just do it faster. There have to be things which we have to do in terms of bringing competencies which did not exist onto the on the at the table together from multiple constituents, maybe business or otherwise. Now, if that is done, then do you think, first of all, is it realistic to get those all of those different the competencies quickly? And secondly, if you bring it, how do you validate it before you latch them onto the new system and then further bring the reduction in value? I mean, this looks like you have to do it in piecemeal, but can you convince the business to expect results in piecemeal?
Yeah, I think you, as long as they understand that is the plan, and they understand what they're going to get when and what their responsibility is, you know, typical if you talk to IT, a lot of times your biggest challenge on delivering programs and projects is actually getting the business to live up to their commitments. And that just takes a very clear, open dialogue, you know, in your weekly meetings, your monthly executive reviews, and you lay those things out and say, listen, here's the challenge we have. We're all one team, and maybe IT is, you know, officially owns the project, so to speak, but you help them understand what the deliverables are. I think, you know, you mentioned the word miracle, and obviously IT can perform miracles sometimes, but not all the time. And if you're being asked to all the time, then something has to change in expectations or whatever the case may be, talent. But again, I think that, you know, IT does have, if they're really good at what they do have good people that understand how to run programs, how to facilitate, how to discover, how to communicate. And if you do those things well, then I think we can accomplish what you're asking for.
All right, so let's take another very quick break, and that will be the last week for the show, and then we'll run through the segment. And when we come back, we should be looking at what the trade-offs will be if we were to bring this time to value, what business is willing to forego in the short term for them to get a better capable enterprise, which has got IT as the fabric, and overall each product that they're going to roll out going forward would have will be done with a reduced time to value. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
There are a variety of tools on the market that allow you to remotely work on a client, colleague, or friend's computer. But what solution do you choose? The answer is simple. Go to Assist.
Brought to you by Citrix.
It's reliable, fast, and secure. And with the exceptional performance, it is no wonder why IT professionals choose GoToAssist. Troubleshoot in seconds. Try GoToAssist free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.com/CIO. That's GoToAssist.com/CIO. Unleash your support potential with GoToAssist.
Brought to you by Citrix.
It's remote support made easy.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.evol.com today. Evol helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Evol delivers. To find out how Evol can help your company, visit www.evol.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
All right, welcome back. So, Jagdish, we will start with you on this question that you may want to of course, bring reduced time to value. And you want to be able to build this capability that going forward, everything that you do is faster, better, cheaper, and of very good quality. So this cannot be done overnight, and perhaps there would be some changes that you'll have to make fundamentally in the organization and in IT that will require some short-term disruptions. What are those trade-offs, and how do you present to the executive management that you'll have to forego of this smooth sailing for now in order to be able to sail better in the future?
I think we need to go a little more agile. That means we build something which is required urgently, faster. So there's something that, you know, there's a matrix we use for some of these big initiatives.
Okay.
We call them as, you know, something which has got high effort, high benefits. So it is on effort on one side and the benefits on other side. And we try to map all the features and functionalities into low effort, high benefits, which will be primarily something which is user functionality driven and things like that. Then you will have low, high effort, high benefits. So we make something like a 2x2, and we try to deliver whatever can be delivered with lowest effort across all the bill of functionalities in quick time, while work on the capabilities that are required to deliver the more complex functionalities. And I think this is what keeps the quick delivery cycles on. As I said, you know, you need to be delivering something every month or 2 months,
in a big, even in a large program, and this is what keeps the momentum on.
So, Dale, when you go back and talk to your folks, your executive management, your crew, the trade-offs that you refer to, one is the area where we look at the trade-offs. Another is that how much are we going to gain out of it? I mean, since it is, again, an uncharted territory, you cannot really write on a stamp paper that this is going to happen. And you want money for it. So you want an organization to make a short-term trade-off, but you're not also at the same time able to show why should they have this trade-off in a 100% guaranteed way for them to really take this hit. So what is do you need to be like a super negotiator in order to pull this off?
See, it feels that way sometimes, doesn't it? I think that the thing you could be able to do is just say, listen, you know, if you guys have to have this particular piece or product or something, let's say in 3 months, you know, I can support you in that, but I'm going to do it in a very, very tactical way. I'm going to take some shortcuts. I'm going to do some things that's not up to standards, for example. But what I have to have a commitment from them is that 3 months later, 6 months later, I'm going to replace that with the right long-term solution. Because obviously you can't, you know, patchwork all of your IT systems and get by with it. But you let them understand, I'm willing to make that trade-off. I'm willing to support you as a business partner. I'm willing to help you out, get to market faster. But I'm going to some degree, do the work twice. So your total cost of ownership, if you will, might be a little higher from the IT project per se. But if that's what you need to get to market and you understand, just know that behind this, I'm going to be doing some rework.
So, Jagdish, I guess we have some background noise here. Jagdish, you still there?
Yeah, I'm there.
All right. So the question here would come to you is that what are you telling or how are you measuring the end benefits which you are sharing with people at your end as stakeholders and tell them that I'm going to bring about this much reduction in a quantified way for you to pony out some cash and also take an intermediate or a short-term hit to see that long-term result?
Sanjog, the way we take a two-step approach to benefits, we have done enough of the ROI on the on our IT projects and investments. So we have changed it because every time we deliver something and then we said, you know, this is the benefit delivered, the business function says that, no, this is my hard work. What did you do? So we have gone on to an approach where we say that, okay, if this is what you're, we will measure IT success on the business metric. And this business metric will be owned by IT and the business function jointly. Let's take inventories. If I'm going to do something for you which is going to reduce inventory, inventory becomes a joint metric. And we don't fight over you know, whether I own it or you own it. And I think if we take this element of negotiation away, we can work jointly. IT cannot get away from saying that I have delivered this project to you, now you do whatever you do. And we have a healthy dialogue even long post the delivery of projects with them as to why something is not getting used, why a business metric is not improving. And if you do this, then the real agenda that gets built is of business improvement, process improvement, and then business also has much more confidence on you for delivering the benefits as they see it.
All right. So now with you, Dale, when you go about and talk to these individuals, one is that you are doing this within the organization where to some extent you have control and they see that the loyalty is with the organization. But frankly, in many of the larger projects where you got partners involved and others, they may not want to rock the boat for just one customer because you want to rush or reduce the time to value. So how are you doing to motivate the rest of the ecosystem in order to make this happen, because you will be successful and or not as successful based on how you're able to pull together all the different partners?
Well, I think you got to be very, very open about your needs, what will make you successful, the risk you see, and what role they play and how they participate. And then obviously,
in your ecosystem example where you've got vendors and partners, you know, they need to understand how this helps them as well. I mean, you always want to make things a win-win whenever it's possible. So, but be open about the challenge. Just say, listen, I realize this is going to be either more risky or more complex, or I'm just going to take extra work. I just found that if you're very open, honest, you keep the focus on what the end result's going to be and how it's going to help you, and then you can find a way to help articulate how that helps them, or even ask, how can I help you? You'll get the buy-in. You'll get that participation, and they become part of your organization, part of your team. I think it's a big important of that versus a dictation style.
So, Jagdish, do you think you have some special ways of making this happen? Because I'm sure in your business, you have to be very agile. That's, of course, that as you mentioned. But not only you, you got to have everybody work as a work in harmony, if you will, all your partners. And then if you want to speed up things, yes, they have a business interest, but they have to be motivated or incentivized somehow. What do you do for that?
I think it's, yes, we have to depend on partners for flexibility and competencies. But internal communication across the team, whether it's yours or with our partners, is very important that they share the success, not just in financial terms, but also emotionally. You have to create, you know, some of that communication back from business so that people come and talk to your project teams in terms of what they are going to be able to do with that, et cetera, et cetera. I think that becomes very important.
So, Dale, when you look at the leadership style that exists today among CIOs and business leaders, do you think in the real world and or in an ideal world, for that matter, where we are able to continually pursue this reduction in time to value, should there be a change in the style that we use today?
Well, my experience, I guess, has been you're looking, I think the business is looking for IT leaders who are willing to kind of think out of the box and not give a standard canned pat IT answer that always feels like you're risk adverse. It always feels like you're not willing to, you know, take on a challenge. I think you got to be willing to assume risk. I mean, yes, be open about it, help them understand the consequences, help them understand the risk, but you need to be willing to assume risk as a leader. You got to find a way to get past status quo in your organization, in your IT. You got to be able to look at, you know, the individuals or organizations that simply just don't like change and don't like risk, and you don't put them on these big projects, these big programs. You put them on somewhere else in a maintenance mode or something else that's not going to be willing to like this, because these time-to-value type of projects, they have to have leadership that's willing to assume these risks.
Jagdish, if this is a project or many other projects that you may do for reduction in time to value, I'm sure you're not the only one as a leader involved and your crew involved. You've got business units and other people. But who should take the blame and or get the kudos for something delivered successfully? Because you are, I would not say cog in the wheel, but you're one among many who are contributing towards this overall success. And to what level would you say, this is not my department, so I should not be given credit or be blamed for, and this is somebody else's, etc.? So where do you draw these clear lines, or are there clear lines?
No, I think IT is something where everybody's skin is in the game, and we need to work jointly on this. When we are able to deliver something that drives benefits, I make it a point to celebrate the business guys who are involved as much as I celebrate my guys, and you know, we get them the recognition. So it builds the real good thing is to build strong business relationships so that everybody gets involved, everybody knows what you're into, everybody understands what risks we are taking jointly. So everything has to be joint. Again, as I said earlier, your proactiveness, your ability to engage with various parts of business, that builds a proactiveness where you are also thinking what makes them successful. Okay, you are also aligning to them. If I can give you an example, when we came out with the Nano, we had, you know, some of the very typical old websites, and I went to the product management group and I said, you know, Nano is youthful and it's exciting and it's very modern. It's something which hasn't been done before. So why shouldn't we incorporate all of these brand values into a portal which is as youthful, but like Nano, it is low cost. So we built an open source portal which had all Web 2.0 features. It had got a configurator, and some of this had never been done in Tata Motors earlier. And you know what? This was a low cost but very modern and contemporary portal. And this is something that we jointly did with them, and we suggested it to them, and it really worked. And that builds credibility for you, and that allows you to do a lot of such things more and more again.
All right. So what we would do is we'll just 15 seconds for each of you. If there are companies who want to increase time to value or reduce time to value, what is your advice for them? 15 seconds each. Dale.
You got to make sure that they understand the real purpose of what's going on. Why is this important? Because if they buy into it and they understand the impact to the business, most people will line up and work with you.
Jagdish.
I think it's joint ownership and making sure that, you know, whatever we are doing is critical to the customer, and prioritizing all the time, flagging off risks, and that's what makes you deliver on time.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, thank you so much, Jagdish and Dale, for sharing your thoughts about how can IT help reduce time to value. Thank you so much for your participation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjal Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.